You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Serena.
I was fading her.
Why?
Everybody thought that she was going to lose.
Earlier this week, I don't know if you aired it or not, but earlier this week, Mike came in, and I think we declared him the Serena Williams of sitting around with your hands in your underwear criticizing great athletes because he said she's so washed. And I was making fun of him because of her age, because she's had a baby, because she has no reasonable right to still be somebody who could beat the second-ranked player in the world. Mike did indeed cop to being the Serena Williams of sitting around with his hands in his underwear criticizing great athletes.
Yeah, but prime Serena Williams. I'm still very much in my prime. I'm as good at 36 at doing that as I was at 24. And the point I was trying to make was comparatively, this is a fairly obvious one, she's washed to the standard that she set, but last night was majestic, a great sports moment. If she completes this Cinderella run, my God, Pa, what a crowning achievement on already the greatest career ever. What she did last night was incredibly impressive, and I don't see, based on her recent performances in tournaments, how she can actually do this. It'd be the coolest sports moment for people north of 35 since Tiger completed his comeback and won at the Masters. It is going to be a moment in time for people of a certain age.
Does it have to be of a certain age? I told you guys that I was legitimately moved during the Super Bowl commercial that had Peyton Manning and Jimmy Butler, and the last one entering the bowling alley as a reveal was a very slow-walking, swaggering Serena Williams icon, style maker, everything else. Her story during the Me Too stuff, like, she's amazing on her own a million different ways, but for her to be a powerhouse after being a mother and bring you Stugatz, I mean, I know the U.S. Open has done this with Jimmy Connors and stuff, but where we can all get to say goodbye together with an athlete going and summoning something in the role that she never gets to be because of her greatness, which is, when does greatness ever get to be that kind of an underdog?
Right. Well, she won't be an underdog for the remainder of the tournament. She'll be favored in every match because her best is still better than the number two player in the country. But it is interesting where...
In the world, excuse me.
Is it? Yeah, I think her best is still better than anyone else's best. She'll be favored in every match moving forward. She will be.
Is that correct?
Well, she was.
And third set last night, she was phenomenal. That was vintage Serena right there.
I bet before last night, and she was plus 200 against the number two seed. So I'm with Stugatz. Her opponents are going to get by ranking easier, right?
Well, the two seed's out now. I believe the one seed's out, right, Mike?
Wouldn't she not be able to play the one seed to the final? Isn't that how seedings work?
Well, but the one seed got eliminated in the first round. There have been a lot of upsets in Flushing. It's been a pretty crazy tournament. There was a minus 2,500 favorite that went down. And honestly, the storyline that I wanted...
I'm gambling again.
there's still some cool storylines going. I would have loved for... What I want to see most is not even Serena winning. I want her to get to the final and have a young American that was inspired by Serena be the one to take it from her. I think Coco's probably our best shot since she's most informed. But I don't. I seeing how the tournament's breaking down, I don't think we'll get that. So let's just root for Serena and not fade her anymore. I've learned my lesson.
She's a -160 favorite in her next match.
Right, the first match she's been a favorite at the U.S. Open this year. So as she moves on here and eliminates Seed, she's going to continue to be favored. But Dan, I am telling you, it is so fun to watch this. The tension is amazing. It's like watching a finals match every single night. And if she makes it to the semifinals or the finals, I can't believe I'm saying this.
Well, you came in excited.
For a weekend, tennis will trump the NFL, and it's the opening weekend of the NFL because that will be the biggest story in sports.
No, it won't.
I think it will,
no,
Mike.
It won't.
Wait, Serena at a final? I'm with him.
Her last tournament, Serena in the finals.
With all due respect, that's on the second TV.
Mike, Sunday, 4 o'clock.
It's on the second TV, with all due respect. 4 o'clock? Dude, I'm putting Colts Texans on the first TV. With
no, 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 it's got to be at least Raiders Chargers.
Nothing stops the NFL.
Nothing does stop
nothing
the NFL.
Nothing stops the NFL. Stop
I mean,
it.
Maybe Serena. She stopped an entire crowd last night. She told them to shut up, and they all shut up.
Oh wait, Chiefs Cardinals 4 o'clock. I'm back with the NFL.
Guys,
oh yeah, I'm back
guys,
too.
It's the U.S. Open. It's the last 20 years have been the single greatest era of men's championship tennis. We have seen so many great men's finals line up against the NFL.
Oh, but it wouldn't be this one. But it wouldn't be this.
But the women's finals on Saturday.
There you go.
It's a Saturday. Right.
No
Saturday
choices to make.
PM.
There you go. Biggest story in sports.
Stugatz, why'd you do this to us?
I mean, that's the men's final.
Why'd you have this going against the
usually on Saturdays, though?
But if it was going up against the NFL, I'm telling you, it'd be okay, bigger than that.
Okay. Well,
but now it'll be bigger than week two of the college football season.
Okay, but it's not going up against the NFL.
For a couple minutes there, we had a good debate going.
It was a great debate.
Well, let me ask a different one. Let me ask a different question to you.
Cards, I mean.
What is the worst feeling in gambling?
We got Tennessee at Pitt.
Is the worst feeling in gambling the bad beat, or is it fading the great sports moment where you're watching and it's like, I can't even root for this because it's costing me money?
Yeah. I'm opting out.
It's such a bad feeling.
Now you have to lay money, though.
The fading Serena has been a very profitable business venture. I'm going to take my winnings and see myself out.
But you're sitting there, you're betting your money, you're rooting for a certain result, you're staring. All of American sports is rooting for Serena Williams, feeling like Tiger Woods in the stands last night. And what are you doing? You're not only sitting it out. Hey, there's me, Mike Ryan, not only losing money, but on the wrong side of history in every way.
Week 2, 10:15 p.m., D-Gen special, number 10, Baylor, at number 25, BYU.
That's a big one.
That is a monster D-Gen. And special
in Provo.
Oh yeah.
Oh god, BYU's a different team in Provo.
Just such empty analysis.
Nah, it's hard to get out of Provo.
Look at the home away
Provo.
No one gets out of there, Dan.
Can I tell you my favorite bet of the weekend? My favorite bet of the weekend. I have just locked in a hater parlay.
A harlay.
Nice.
I have adjusted the line. I've sold points, and I'm taking Utah at Florida and LSU. Believe it, it's a neutral site game against Florida State University. I'm taking Utah and LSU to both win by double digits.
Ooh, really?
Just to hate on the other team from the state.
If you go to DraftKings Sportsbook, a $50 bet will net you over $400 on Utah and LSU to beat two fledgling State of Florida programs by more than 9 points.
Is this based on you checking out their recruiting and being intimately involved in the weavings of recruiting this offseason?
Yeah, I do think that the LSU-FSU game is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Because of the offseason, I really think that Brian Kelly's accent cost LSU 8 points with this spread.
You might be right.
I don't understand it. It's a three-point spread. How many times have we seen Miami line up in this game against an SEC team? I understand it's not the LSU team of old, but it's still like a sound team.
LSU was so bad last year, though.
Yeah, it's not even really a neutral site game, though. It's in the Superdome.
I don't see
three-point favorites against FSU in the Superdome.
It's, to me, really puzzling to borderline fishy. It was so low that it almost scared me away. But I'm just going to – LSU is just going to make that quarterback throw. I don't see how that's a game by the fourth quarter. I really don't. I'm setting myself up for an epic freezing cold takes. But this line does not make sense to me.
I'm always afraid of a line that doesn't make sense to me. Always afraid,
and
wondering.
Florida. My God, Pa. What are you doing scheduling Utah? You are paying.
I had no idea Utah was number 7 in the country preseason.
Utah, yes.
I was shocked to see that.
Rose Bowl champ.
The Utes.
Yeah, you don't invite Kyle Whittingham to your house. What are you doing?
My uncle.
You're going to pay them $500,000 to kick your ass, and I'm going to be there eating popcorn. Love it.
Stugatz, Utah has been good for the last 10 years.
If you say so.
And was good last year. And Mike, LSU was bad last year. They couldn't stop anybody at all. I mean, when they played a game and actually got into the 40s and 50s, they were in close games.
Recruiting hasn't gone great for LSU. Certainly not what they were doing in years past, but Brian Kelly is a very solid head coach. And it's really a bet against FSU. What, we're getting scared because they didn't cover against Duquesne? I don't understand what we're doing. FSU was really bad last year. Really bad. Thank you for beating Miami last year. I really appreciate it. A historical moment in Hurricanes history. I don't see this one at all. So that's a fun little hater parlay. Obviously, it's juiced. It's not likely, according to the odds makers. But I think Utah's better than Florida. I think LSU's better than Florida State. And I don't necessarily think that's by a small margin either. I think that they're a good deal better than those teams. Florida's going to be tricky because that's at the Swamp. Week one, we'll see. But the ticket sales have been struggling. They got to give tickets away to that one.
Our winning Wednesday went 0-2. If you bet against us, you won again.
A phony.
Controversy.
Yeah, major controversy.
No, wait a minute. What do you mean?
We should have gotten 1-1 because yesterday we should have the parlay, though.
Pathetic.
Okay, but I understand.
We still
but
we gave
Seattle Storm plus 5.5, and somehow it turned into Seattle Storm money line. I don't know how that happened. I don't know anybody.
I haven't talked to anybody.
But I don't know. Okay, it became
so
it went 1-1 and you lost by a hook on a run line.
So
right?
Bad.
Went 1-1 and you lost by a hook on a run line.
Do not do this. Do not do that. Do not defend going 1-1 in a parlay when you went 0-2 and we put it down wrong.
Listeners went 1-1. People that consumed via social media, they went 0-2.
We have to do something about this.
Of course, it's a parlay. If you go 1-1, you go 0-1.
You lose, yes. You got to win both.
It is a loss, and it is pathetic to be out here saying we should have won half the bet, which would still make it a loser, but a less embarrassing loser. We have to do this better. What do we have to do? Do we have to call Colin Cowherd?
Let me tell you something. If Mike Norvell beats LSU in the Superdome,
uh-oh,
I will take out a roll of toilet paper and I will eat 3 plies. I will eat
Mark,
3 plies of toilet paper.
How does that fix our problem, though?
I will tear off 3 individual plies of toilet paper.
Okay, very
good. Look directly into this camera.
It's nice to know, but
Mike Norvell is not beating LSU in Louisiana. I don't see it happening.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Don Lebatard.
Mike, Marty Schottenheimer passed away.
Stugatz.
Why do you sound so happy?
How did you say that?
Yeah, you're very excited.
I was not excited.
What happened? Unbelievable.
I was merely pointing out that a Browns legend had passed away.
Hold on. That was unbelievable.
Guys, Marty Schottenheimer died.
Hold on.
And maybe the greatest coach to never win a Super Bowl.
Okay, I mean. Wait a minute. Let's just settle down. Let's all settle down.
Do you hear?
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
By the way, no one's showing up to that game.
I think the season ticket holders will show up. Although I am a season ticket holder and I will not be showing up.
Exactly. Right.
I don't think that there's going to be a buzz around Bethune-Cookman. I think Mike has now arrived at a point where he is crazed beyond all reason. We have not yet started, and he did mutter a couple of things under his breath. Stugatz caught him on a couple of things during the break under his breath. One thing that he muttered is, heaven help all of you if we beat Texas A&M after dragging that game into deep water mud.
And, especially if they win that game 17-13.
Yep.
And he also said, and Stugatz pointed this out, with after hearing this, this is what Stugatz said. Stugatz said, I'm not sure that Mike was just talking to anybody. And what Mike had said under his breath is, I got Arkansas over Cincinnati.
He's unhinged, man.
College football has gotten here. It's arrived. And I am now terrified of everything that's happening around me, not just because of Mike, because this guy's made an appearance, too. This person, in general spirit on the internet, has made an appearance. Dan Lebatard, while writing for the Miami Herald, went on a rant about what an asshole Saban is. On and on and on, asshole this, asshole that. In response, a Birmingham writer said, yep, but he's our asshole. We'll stick with what works until it doesn't. That guy is painting his face this weekend and yep. thinking it means something when he says, we'll stick with what works until it doesn't. Like, people are trying to find the words for their enthusiasm.
Every single college football fan in America is just looking for their asshole. That's what they want out of their fandom. They want the asshole that brings them success. It is a long and winding search. You try your Sam Pittmans and your Lane Kiffins, and you're just looking for your asshole.
You are so right about this, but there's another layer to it. Not only are you looking for your asshole at this time of year, you're looking to find, coming from the mouth of someone, that asshole. I'm that asshole. Saban's their asshole. You're looking for both. You've got to find your asshole.
You want
asshole.
The asshole who says the thing about your asshole.
No, yes. No. You want the asshole that gets the thing said about him by that asshole.
Good clarification. Yes.
You've got to get this one right. It's important as we enter this college football season that everyone knows where their assholes are.
I want to be the asshole that praises my asshole.
There's a big asshole out there. Urban Meyer. I mean,
but what do you mean he's out there? He's not.
He's out there for the taking. You can take an asshole. I mean, if everyone's looking for an asshole.
Did you see, by the way, how they hired Urban Meyer for the Fox pregame show?
What do you mean how they hired him?
Well, they just like put him as the fifth name in a press release and never announced that they're hiring Urban Meyer.
Trying to hide him.
It was just like he's just snuck in there. Yeah. Urban Meyer, College Football Saturday, Big Noon Saturday. Check it out.
And did that work?
No. Everyone saw it. It was like, wait a second. You hired Urban Meyer after all of that?
He's their asshole.
They have Clay Travis on their pregame.
Oh.
You are, in a way, Mike, already, and this lasted 10 minutes, and it was unpleasant how crazed you are, and I believe that you are representative of everyone who's excited after a couple of really, truly awful years, truly awful years.
I'm so happy for Saturday to come because it's a culmination of a lot of complaints for some fans, a lot of message board posts, a desperate cry for someone to pay attention. And that's what I'm excited about, to really celebrate. I think Saturday is a celebration of us finally hitting this benchmark that should have been cleared 20 years ago.
You yelled at me and Stugatz for being out of date because you are now enmeshed in message board world where, you know, he reports something about Art Briles' kid, and next thing you know, Mike Ryan is fighting with all of Baylor on this stuff. And I wonder if Mike is so close to it, Stugatz, that when he accuses you and me of being old...
Mm-hmm. He's right, for the most part.
Yes, but I don't know the audience, if at all, there has been any impact with or around the enthusiasm of the audience... that the veneer of what this used to be has been stripped down so naked that I don't know if this changes the sport for anybody in any discernible way. It doesn't for me. I have always been somebody who enjoys that it's minor league football. And furthermore, I've gotten kind of pissed off that the injustices always get wrapped in the sis boom ba of we are amateurism.
Right.
I mean, we're... because of name, image, and likeness, some of that is getting rectified. The reason why you laughed me out about the Gattis thing, and you don't even understand like how monumental it is for a program that always went cheap on coaches to take the best coordinator available, somebody that wasn't even supposed to be in play. You don't get that guy. Alabama gets that guy.
I'm asking
the NFL
you,
gets that
that's
guy.
That's fair, Mike. That's fair. But, Mike, I think you're so close to it, you have reasons to be excited, and you care about it more than anyone I know. I don't think everyone shares those feelings. Like, you have to do something for it. It's nice they're spending money. It's nice they're getting recruits. It's nice they're getting big assistants. But you're playing Bethune-Cookman on Saturday.
I 100% hear you, and I agree with you. You'll have to do something. I would argue that they've done something already, which is... apply the resources.
Instead of making it about Miami, I would like to more broadly ask Whittingham this question, because Whittingham has tried to articulate the argument in the face of your fiery hot homer breath. He has tried to say, hey, if we start doing football, minor league football, this way, this overtly on Lane Kiffin saying, yeah, it'll be baseball now. Highest payroll wins, gets the best players. When Chris Whittingham says, and I don't know if this is going to stick anywhere, if the rabid need for I need what college football feels like, what football feels like, is so large that Whittingham asked the question before football season, like the dork from the library emerging in front of the marching band and saying, what's the point? What's the point of what it is that you're presently doing if you're simply going to buy your way in? And it's not going to be about rivalries. It's just made for TV, regional television entertainment.
Right. It's just about, like, can I get a state into my TV deal? Like, these are, like, on Saturdays, lining up or competing TV deals. And it has no, there's no point to, like, it's USC playing against Rutgers when, like, what are we measuring? The ability to, like, sneak $600,000 to some quarterback through a car dealership? Like, that's what we're measuring on Saturdays. What? Like, why? For
so
what?
True.
What is the system?
It's very confusing.
I agree. But what has the system been for the last 20 years?
That better hidden.
No,
you're right.
I mean, I think now you actually... I'm not going to go as far as to say there's going to be parity, but I do think that more teams will be able to get in the mix now. Yeah, I mean, we've been watching the Alabama show mix in with a dash of LSU and Georgia or whoever, or Auburn and Clemson.
Two teams can win the championship this year. It's Alabama or Georgia.
That is no different than what you've been watching.
You need a few years to play out. Mike is technically right. Like, if you have an alum who's got a lot of money or a donor to the football program, and he takes it seriously, there is a chance for teams like Northwestern or Indiana or Texas. You would assume that Arch Manning was going to go to Mississippi. He went to Texas. Why? They offered more money. I mean...
They have the Pancake Factory. Go ahead and Google that and see how much their offensive linemen in Texas are getting. I do think that... And we'll see with the expanded playoff. I'm not crazy about that because the college football playoff games have not been good. They haven't. They've all been blowouts.
It's gotten progressively worse over time. The first ever playoff was incredible. But over time, it just becomes one team is overmatched by the other. And if we're at four and there are teams that are overmatched, Alabama and Georgia have just simply gotten too strong. And I don't know if NIL helps fix that, but I do know that when you're just moving teams from their regional rivalries and just having them placed all throughout the country. It's a proxy war between Fox and ESPN. There's just so many elements of this sport that are no longer about, like, what is the competition for?
But the Fox and ESPN thing is an added dynamic to when you're worried about who's the main rivalry is Clemson versus Alabama. I'm very excited to see where the network wars go and how they cover and who has the rights to the college football playoff and how does that play in. You're going to have biases, legit biases, be thrown around out there. But for teams like Miami, expanding the playoff actually shifts your timeline. You know where this is all headed, right? If NIL is not going to be what it is right now. Right now, we're kind of operating.
Oh, wild! It's so great. You will never see it look like this again.
I will tell you. You'll never see it look like last year. You will never see it look like last year. Last year, that was just. It has gotten a little bit more buttoned up. I'd actually say a lot more buttoned up than what it was last year. But where this is all headed is you're going to essentially have a union in the college football playoff, which is going to run things over the NCAA. We're already seeing those wheels in motion. CFP is going to be the governing body. And then kids will get paid through that. And then NIL will be what it was always meant to be, which is if you have Tyler Van Dyke and he's a local superstar, he'll pitch you on this app. And that'll be that. Right now, it's a little crazy. But CFP will organize everything and you'll have more structure and you'll rectify some of the injustices that Dan has been pounding the table over for 20 years.
I would like for it to actually be a football structure in which it's on the basis of revenue, it's all coming through the program, and then they pay out a percentage of that as salary, and we get to see, all right, Michigan this year has a $55 million payroll, and Indiana has a $25 million payroll, or whatever. At the very least, like baseball, it starts to make some sense as this is within a competitive structure. It's just now the complete Wild West, and I think we're going through a probably 2 or 3 year period, as you're saying, Mike, where TV deals are getting fortified, where NIL is going to start to make some sense, and eventually these walls will crumble, and college football will become our second American football league.
And we love that, though. Why do you have that being lesser? People love the NFL.
The structure is such a good thing. And I think it's not the structure that's just on the NCAA or whatever governing body. The NIL people are forming structures. That's where these collectives come in, where they want to take care of everybody. Because what happened last year, what happened this year, is not sustainable. And everyone's just going to set up a new high watermark, and it's going to be like the old NFL rookie wage scale where the rule is I just outdo the previous year's number one pick.
Are you guys answering my question on this, though? Because, Stugatz, are you any less interested in football? Are there people listening to this right now who are saying, of college football, I'm not interested the way I used to be because of what Whittingham is talking about? Why are we doing this?
It's football on Saturday. I'm interested. It's because, Dan, it's still about Alabama for now. I'll see how it looks in 5 years. But for now, it's still about Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, the teams I care about, the brands I care about. What it looks like in 5 years remains to be seen. I don't think anyone knows what it will look like. So I can't really give you my interest level in 5 years, but this year I'm as interested as I've ever been because it's the same as it's always been.
But I just, you walk into the season and like there's been so much player movement. Like, to me, if players signed 3-year contracts because they were getting paid a lot of money, it would at least sort of settle my brain down on what this is. For me,
Riley leaves Oklahoma and goes to USC, and now he can take his quarterback. Like, the kid could finally follow the coach.
Correct.
It's why he went there in the first place.
Correct. But what I'm saying is if you then, like, did a trade or, you know, a Premier League-style transfer where we know it, and you sign a contract, but now that players are just year-to-year, it's rolling one-year contracts for every single player in college football, to me, we're showing up on Saturday and doing a ton of learning. This first month for me is purely about learning who is is where. Learning who players are. I actually think college football announcers have a huge burden to explain who's on every team.
That's
been a significant fall off.
This is why, though, I continue. The reason I asked the question is, like, are you guys prepared for how transactional this is about to actually feel? It's never felt as transactional as that. All over the sport for the first month of the season, they're going to be telling you, and 12 guys went into the portal here, and they're going to be introducing you to the teams that you haven't been following necessarily, because you're not like Mike snorting college football podcasts about Bethune-Cookman on the way in.
I understand why the optics of it, it's just because it's there. It's hard to ignore. But this is so much better than just everyone during recruiting season picking Alabama. This is just
way better than that.
Nick Saban went to a microphone and openly complained about how much money other people have. Nick Saban!
Right.
He was complaining publicly that his advantage over the last 20 years has been evaporating.
It's so great.
He mentioned Miami's basketball team.
That's funny.
Dude.
This season is good. This season, it's basically the same. I mean, there are a few changes. This will take a few years.
Yeah.
It's still Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia, right?
Yes. They've had a head start on all these
things. And maybe USC.
Yeah.
I
mean,
are you guys stepping back from all of this, whether it's Brady's broadcasting contract or just everything that's happened in sports, and realizing, holy shit, whether it's Juan Soto, $440 million or $8 billion for what used to be the Big Ten Network, that all of these people in the business parts of this have been stealing money by the framework and the system.
They still steal money. They make, like, the Big Ten's TV deal is $7 billion over 8 years. That's basically $1 billion a year. The players see none of that money. $0. There's been an entirely new economy created by car dealership owners that pays the players now.
It's an amazing thing to watch the system collapse and to live in the middle of how it reanimates, like, I'm thinking of that liquid guy in Terminator in the 1980s.
T-1000.
but to see it happen, I do wonder, and perhaps you don't, maybe the fandom, you paint your face, you go to the games on Saturday, you tailgate, you drink your beer, and you don't care how you get it intravenously. You know, you'll talk yourself into the cheerleaders and but it's lifestyle. This is what I want to do on Saturdays, and I don't care how commercial it is. My weekends, I want to escape from everything else. Give me these 3 hours on Saturday. I can belong to something, and I simply do not care how contaminated it is.
I personally love that Gus Machado can change the fortunes of a college football program. I do. I mean, it's amazing.
You're right. It used to be just Malzahn, but I want Machado. Like, I don't want it. I want Gus Machado. I do want my car dealer. You know what? You've convinced me. I say go a step further. Chip Kelly, you're going to need to move. Let's just get our biggest booster on the sideline and just stare at him, see what he looks like.
You know what I care about on Saturdays?
What's that, Chris?
Waking up, putting on College Game Day.
Yep.
Putting in a couple parlays.
Yep.
Tracking them throughout the day. I don't give a shit about anything you guys are talking about.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. but Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Libertard.
The Clevelander Hotel sits on a famous strip of land, and it's a party palace. There are sometimes these conventions that roll through here that are terrifying. A couple of weeks ago was the Bitcoin people.
Stugats.
They call the event 70,000 tons of metal.
It's more than that.
It's a lot of metal, man.
I mean, listen to me, Roy. I love Miami. That music has made me consider moving.
You're talking about more of like the... Yes. Like that.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugats.
Did you know that Country Roads is not about West Virginia? It's about the western part of Virginia.
It's about Western Virginia. I mean, God.
Yet the planet in Missouri.
Everything was a lie over there. Yeah. Tonight is a backyard brawl. And for those that are unfamiliar with it, it is a rivalry between Pittsburgh and West Virginia. Two former Big East foes, now in totally different conferences, the ACC. Reigning, I may remind the audience that Pittsburgh is the reigning ACC champion.
What?
So they have won an ACC before Miami has. And West Virginia is in what's left of the Big 12 right now. But there is an intense rivalry that is going to be played out tonight. I don't know if you guys have seen what has played out on social media. There was a formal pep rally for Pittsburgh, and the quarterback for the Pitt Panthers just openly said into a microphone with his entire team and head coach behind him, Narduzzi was smiling as this happened. He knew what was coming his way. Quarterback says, I believe it's Kevin Slovis, says, West Virginia, which is, you know, we could say that, but the quarterback saying that, that's a really big deal, right? But they knew they wanted the smoke. So that happened 2 days ago. And what has emerged since then has been cell phone video off of Snapchat inside the West Virginia Space Age locker room, where they have TV screens everywhere and on a constant loop. Is the quarterback these LED screens so suck on the lockers saying
so good.
Fuck West Virginia.
So good. So all of these players are just gonna be rabid and frothing all week. Every step they take, it's the quarterback's voice. So do you want that smoke? Do you want the smoke to feel like that?
Yes. That's fun smoke.
Tonight is going to be fun. I am telling you, it's always buried. That rivalry is always buried.
Jessica's there. She went in like a javelin. She's landing neck first in the middle of that insanity.
I am so excited to watch this specific game because it's an intense rivalry that if you really follow college football, I don't know why Andrew, if you really follow college football.
Mike took as a compliment the other day. Mike took as a great compliment the other day. Someone came up to me. Clearly, wildly on drugs, and said that they were friends, very close friends with Andrew Luck, and that Andrew Luck hates Mike Ryan's impersonation.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
That's an honor. Congratulations, Mike. Yes.
Mike was very happy. He would say, did you want to make an acceptance speech?
That's a beautiful compliment. I'm upset that my friend Kobe Fleener was under the influence.
What a great name.
Fleener.
What a great name of just the square 6'5 tight end who will get you 6.5 yards right. When you need 9.
Happy trails to Jack Doyle, my friend.
Could you surprise me with Kobe Fleener? I don't know that you could have chosen a better shitty tight end.
Well, the Jack Doyle's one note about former Stanford tight ends. I had to surprise you.
Stugatz, I just saw on television, on Bart Scott's segment, Can't Wait.
It's a great segment. I mean, it is. It's clever.
Can't wait to see if Tom Brady is okay. Do you think that there is some sort of issue in 11 days of Tom Brady being away from camp that isn't just family life is hard, marital stuff is hard, he had to go handle something 11 days in, but clearly it's not going to be different Tom Brady just because he's going through whatever the turbulence is at home?
I think it will be the same Tom Brady that we saw last year. So, no, I don't think there's going to be anything different. He took 11 days off. He's 45. He has shit going on. I know it doesn't fall in line with what Tom Brady is all about and what he's been about his entire career, but he's going to be fine. The Bucs are going to be fine. He's not bailing on his team. He's not bailing on his coaches. He wouldn't do that. He took 11 days off.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because we don't need in the media many excuses to talk about this person, but I was surprised. I missed it the first time it made its way through, that the number of people who skipped right past him saying, I'm 45, I got a lot of shit happening, and went straight to Tom Brady doesn't physically look the same. His face does not look the same. It looks like he's gone to get work done since the last time we physically saw him. And I missed that entire conversation on the internet that wasn't about the quote. It was about everyone is now
his appearance.
Everyone is now speculating that Tom Brady looks. Mike, can you explain to the audience that hasn't seen this just how different he looks than the last press conference we saw with him as a Buck?
His face looked completely different. It did.
Well, lips looked a little bit bigger. Yeah. The jawline a little bit more defined, especially in the cheeks. The hair certainly super dark and fuller.
Told us that Tom Brady's hair is straight white.
Yeah, well, you could tell from when he's done the matches on TNT, the golf match, like the back of his head, there was a lot of white hair showing. So he's obviously seen a colorist. That's okay. I mean, who among us, right? 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 But give it 2 weeks to settle.
Right.
Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys, he's going to look fine. It's just a little swollen right now.
But we can. Are we
Everyone
reporting
knows
it?
2 weeks after.
Are we
really
reporting
settles.
It as fact? Are we reporting as fact that.
Right? Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As part of the 11 days off,
guys,
Tom Brady has had work done. I don't feel
Mike's
like.
Mike's an expert on this front. I am telling you.
Again,
right.
Okay. This is America's most popular.
If Mike says so, I mean.
It's America's most popular sport. I simply want for us to be able to enjoy in the age of the internet and getting distracted by silly things, the singular absurdity in a 45-year-old man who has more luck taming age and time while surrounded by 300-pound people who are breathing on him than he does when he needs the help of a surgeon because his face is aging and he does not want it to. He lives, he's married to a supermodel and the vanities matter to these people as a couple. So again, America's most popular sport. He is one of the favorites to win the MVP at 45. And I never had to before cover, hey, you know, Terry Bradshaw is looking to go back-to-back this season. He's had work in the offseason, was off for 11 days because he wanted to fix his face, wanted to be more handsome, fuller in the lips. It's not an analysis I've ever done regarding football before.
Bradshaw would just put his hand further in the dirt.
Exactly.
That's what I did this offseason. What'd you do?
We've never done the internet. This is how they were covering Tom Brady. Did he have work done? Oh my God, how much work has he had done?
Yeah, I understand how he's gotten to this point. You can't, like, he's somehow still in the league in this age. He is married to a supermodel. He was always talked about for his good looks. You got to keep the pressures. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, really, like, who among us? Like,
well, he wasn't really known. He got better looking as he got older.
With
so
age,
it was like,
yes.
When he first got in the league, he wasn't necessarily known as this.
But once you get that good looking, there's a standard that you have to kind of keep up.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
Right, this happens right. to a lot of. It happens.
I know you do.
We don't really see it with males, but we see it with, like, Madonna, who gets often dragged to a really hostile degree on social media for how she looks right now. When you're always the person that is the ageless wonder, you have an immense pressure on you to keep it going for as long as humanly possible.
And yet Paul Rudd just still out here doing it.
Yeah, well, He's also...
Be careful. Be careful. I care about you.
I owe an apology to Keaton Slovis. I'm sorry.
What happened?
I forgot his absurd first name of Keaton.
Come on.
Yeah, he's in Pitt now. He's a former USC, like, Heisman hopeful. It's all these quarterbacks. I do need someone to just walk me through it, like Witty said. I need a good four-minute primer just to tell me where the quarterbacks are.
Hey, just Indiana, tell me the
that
names.
Exciting Indiana guy, he's in Washington right now. The Heisman hopeful from USC, he's in Pitt now. By the way, Pitt won the ACC last year.
Just like a Cliff Notes to catch you up, like the beginning of a series that's been gone for a while where they catch you up on where last season was when they come back 8 months
Caleb
later.
Caleb Williams is in USC now.
Should be like a movie on Amazon, or like watching a movie on Amazon Prime where they have on the side of the window, like, who's in this scene. I need that on the screen all the time. They should just say on the bottom of the screen, the quarterback for NC State is blank.
Can you guys, just all of us together, can we do how well it is working? It is like the gypsy's curse, what's happened to Tom Brady here, because you're an impossible symbol for forever youth, and you have to keep it looking like that on the outside. Stugatz was actually fooled yesterday into thinking that Tom Brady at 45, it no longer hurts him to play football. The idea that Stugatz is having trouble making flights that don't come with back pain, 5 years older than Tom Brady. And because Tom Brady has done such a good job pharmaceutically and cosmetically to disguise that he is Kenny Stabler under there, he is a scarecrow improved by flesh science in order to make, he says he's white-haired, totally white-haired. Of course, the stresses of being Tom Brady would not allow him to naturally look impossibly like he's never felt a pressure in his life.
But are you saying that if he went months without getting any work done, we didn't see him, he's sitting in the house, he would look like the snake?
I am saying that his skin is stretched like a tarp over a scarecrow that is withered from 20 years of pressure and trying to be impossibly young while also trying to defeat age among all the others. It's just a veneer of lacquer. White drops fall off it like raindrops fall off it the way they do off a waxed car.
And what you're left with is Kenny Stabler.
At the end of it, Kenny Stabler.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.